The end of the 1700s and the beginning of the 1800s was when countries in Western Europe began to give the Jews emancipation. They became somewhat equal citizens, and that was really the beginning of the development of the Reform movement and its rapid spread in Western Europe. And because of that, there were many Rabbanim at the time who were major opponents to the Reform movement. Most famously, the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva Eiger. But one less known opponent, very vocal and active, was someone by the name of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. He was born at the end of the 1700s, lived through to the middle of the 1800s, and he was a student of the Nesivis, Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger. And he was very active in trying to fight the Reform movement, specifically by trying to encourage Jews to purchase land in Eretz Yisrael and eventually move to Eretz Yisrael, which is one of the ideas that the Reform was trying to get rid of. So he actually got a bunch of gvirim at the time, like Moses Montefiore and the Rothschilds, Asher Ansel, whatever his name was, Anshel. He wanted them to purchase land from the Ottomans in Eretz Yisrael in order to be able to facilitate the aliyah of Jews from Germany. And part of that activism was also the hope to restart bringing karbanos in Yerushalayim, in the Makom HaMikdash. That was part of his grand plan. And he wrote a sefer called Drishas Tzion, which was his basic hashkafic and halachic argument as to why it makes sense to start right now in the beginning of the 1800s to restart the bringing of karbanos in Eretz Yisrael. And he disseminated his sefer throughout Western Europe amongst the Rabbanim. And he got a lot of responses, some positive, some negative. And he got a haskama from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger's son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer, actually responded, and they had a whole halachic discussion, and he got an approbation for his sefer from them. There was obviously some opponents, famously Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Binyan Tzion, was a strong opponent of the Drishat Tzion halachic argument. That's why his sefer is called Binyan Tzion, arguing on Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's argument to restart the building of Tzion. But either way, in his sefer Drishas Tzion, he has three main halachic issues that he thinks need to be circumvented in order to be able to bring karbanos nowadays. We're going to discuss one of them, but I'll just lay out the three issues that he thinks are issues. And then the Rabbanim actually pointed out to him that there were other halachic issues and other practical issues, like the Chassam Sofer pointed out to him. It's very impractical, given that there's a mosque sitting on the Makom HaMikdash, and the Ottomans are not going to allow for any karbanos to be brought near their mosque. But aside from the practical issue, there are other halachic issues that Rabbanim pointed out to him. But there are three issues that he thought were necessary to deal with. One was the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Can we bring karbanos even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays? Number two was the fact that we are all tamei meis, and karbanos cannot be brought in the state of tumah. And number three is, do we have kohanim nowadays? You know, the kohanim who are presumed to be kohanim nowadays, are they in fact kohanim who would be able to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? Those are the three issues that he dealt with, amongst other details, but those are the three main issues that he dealt with. So we're going to focus on the first issue, whether you need a Beis HaMikdash nowadays. Seemingly, the Beis HaMikdash is there for the purpose of karbanos. So if we don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays, or in the beginning of the 1800s certainly, how can we bring karbanos? So he argued, based on a famous Mishnah, Machlokes Tanaim, quoted in various Gemaras, Maseches Megillah Daf Yud, and Zvachim. In Source 1, Megillah Daf Yod, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, a machlokis between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua. When Ezra came up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to start the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, there's a machlokis tanaim, a historical machlokis at first glance, as to whether they built some structure before they began bringing karbanos. Rebbe Lezer's of the opinion in Source 1, Amar Rebbe Lezer, Shemati kishayu bonin beheichal, osin kolam leheichal, uklam lazara, elish beheichal bonin mechutz, bazar bonin bifnim. So Rebbe Lezer says that they, in order to bring karbanos, what they would do is they set up some makeshift structure, some type of structure that was supposed to take the form of the Beis HaMikdash while they were bringing karbanos until they built the, when, until they finished the permanent structure. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Shemati shemakriv and alf pish ein bias. Ochen kachim kadashim alf pish ein kloim. Kachim kalim maizer sheni alf pish ein chomas. Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that they were able to bring karbanos even though there was no structure. Why? What's the nekudas machlokis? So the Gemara at first thinks that the machlokis depends on whether Kiddusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo or Kiddusha Rishona Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. There's machlokas many places in Shas whether when Yoshua sanctified Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim initially, whether that was, or David, whoever sanctified Yerushalayim, whether that sanctification was L'Dorei Doros for all generations, even nowadays Yerushalayim still has its initial Kiddusha, or no, Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. It was there during the time of Yoshua and Bais Rishon, but after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, the Kedusha was Paka, it expired, and then Ezra had to come and instill some other temporary Kedusha, but that's the Machlokas, whether Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. So Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, therefore since the Makom, since Yerushalayim had its inherent Kedusha, it was unnecessary to build any structure, any Beis HaMikdash, in order to bring karbanos, they were allowed to just go ahead and start bringing karbanos. And Rabbi Lezer of the opinion, the Gemara thinks at first, that he holds Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, it doesn't have Kedusha, therefore they had to build some type of structure in order to instill the place with Kedusha. But without the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion, Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, you can't bring karbanos in Yerushalayim. That's how the Gemara first thinks the machlokas. The Gemara revamps its understanding of the machlokas Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, but that's a famous machlokas in Shas of whether Kiddusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asid Lavo or Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. And it's a famous machlokas Rambam and Ravid had a paskin. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaMechira in Source 3 in Perek Vav, Halacha Tes Vav and Halacha Tes Zayin, the Rambam assumes that Yerushalayim is Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, that Yerushalayim nowadays has its full sanctity, the same Kedusha that it had in the time of Yeshua, the same Kedusha that it had in the time of Ezra, Yerushalayim has the same exact Kedusha, and has many nafkaminas lahalacha, including whether it's mutter to go there in a state of tumah, what the punishment would be, and theoretically bringing karbanos. And the Ravid famously argues, the Ravid thinks that Kedusha Rishana Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, he thinks that Yerushalayim no longer, the Makom HaMikdash, no longer has its full Kedusha. And even the Kedusha that Ezra instilled during Bayis Sheni was only temporary. The Ravid suggests a Chiddush that Ezra made it on condition, made Al-Tanai, that upon the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim should be null and void, and that's what happened. So therefore, there's a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid as to whether Yerushalayim, and specifically the Makom HaMikdash, has its inherent Kedusha nowadays or not. The Rambam is of the opinion that it does, and the Ravid is of the opinion that it doesn't. So, Rav Tzvi Kalischer points out that L'chora, whether we can bring karbanos nowadays without a Beis HaMikdash should depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam, who holds that the Makom HaMikdash still has its inherent Kedusha, meaning we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua, who holds makriven afal pishein bayis, so l'chora we should be able to bring karbanos even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. However, the Ravid, who says lo kitcha l'asid lavo, he holds that the Makom HaMikdash does not have any Kedusha, then seemingly we should not be able to bring karbanos in Yerushalayim in the Makom HaMikdash because we don't have the structure of the Mikdash and the place doesn't have any sanctity. That's what he points out. But he says, no, not so fast. It could be that even according to the Ravid, who holds that the Makom HaMikdash does not have Kedusha, we could still bring karbanos even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Why is that? It's based on the Gemara in the Sech HaZvachim in Source 2 here, Zvachim Kuv Zayin Beis. There's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether one can bring karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash nowadays. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that one cannot bring karbanos outside of the Mikdash nowadays. And if one does, they are going to be chayv karis. That's the sugya of kachei chutz, shchutei chutz. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that one can bring karbanos outside of Yerushalayim nowadays. That's the machlokas. And the Gemara says the machlokas depends on the age-old machlokas, whether Kiddusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, Kitcha L'Asid Lavo, Lo Kitcha L'Asid Lavo. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Kiddusha Rishona, the initial sanctification of Yerushalayim, has lasted until nowadays. Therefore, Yerushalayim still has its inherent Kiddusha. Therefore, that prevents everyone from bringing Karbanos anywhere else. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that Kedusha Rishona lo kitch lasid lavo. Yerushalayim no longer has its inherent Kedusha. Therefore, there's no prohibition of bringing Karbanos anywhere else outside of Yerushalayim. So it says, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, according to the Ravid, who holds that Yerushalayim no longer has its Kedusha, fine. Yerushalayim no longer has Kedusha. Therefore, you would think maybe we can't bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim. But wait a second. If he holds lo kitch lasid lavo, there's no prohibition of bringing Karbanos outside of Yerushalayim. So why should Yerushalayim be any worse than outside of Yerushalayim? If you assume that lo kitch lasid lavo, and Reish Lakish holds based on that, that one can bring Karbanos outside of Yerushalayim, so what's the difference between outside of Yerushalayim and inside Yerushalayim? You should be able to bring Karbanos in both places. There should be no prohibition. So according to the Rambam, you should be able to bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim because the Makam HaMikdash has Kedusha, and therefore you don't need a bais, just like Rabbi Yeshua says in the Mishnah. And even according to the other opinion, who holds lo kitch lasid lavo, Reish Lakish holds that there's no prohibition of bringing Karbanos nowadays outside of Yerushalayim. So once you can bring Karbanos outside of Yerushalayim, why can't you bring Karbanos inside of Yerushalayim? There's no prohibition of bringing Karbanos outside of the Makam HaMikdash. So regardless of what you hold, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer thinks that we should be able to bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim, whether or not the place has inherent Kedusha, we should be able to restart the Karbanos. Now, he neglects to point out that there is an opinion in the Rishonim, the Bali Tosis point out, that even according to Reish Lakish, who holds that Kedusha Rishona, lo kitch lasid lavo, and one is not going to be liable for bringing Karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bali Tosis quote an opinion that hold that even though Yerushalayim no longer has its Kedusha, it could be that once Yerushalayim was chosen as the Makam HaMikdash and the Makam to bring Karbanos, that is going to create a prohibition of bringing Karbanos anywhere else, regardless of whether Yerushalayim still has its Kedusha. Once Yerushalayim was chosen as the special place for Avoda, for Karbanos, one can no longer bring Karbanos anywhere else, regardless of whether Yerushalayim has its Kedusha. Now, what do you do with Reish Lakish's opinion? That's a big discussion. But either way, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer assumed that the Ravid does not hold that opinion. He assumed that since the Ravid paskins that Kedusha Rishona lo kitch lasid lavo, there's no prohibition of bringing Karbanos anywhere. You can bring Karbanos in L.A., you can bring Karbanos in Yerushalayim, there's no difference. So therefore, according to both the Rambam and the Ravid, we should be able to bring Karbanos, but maybe it's not so pashut. Either way, there's another problem. The halach is that even if you don't need a Beis HaMikdash, you do need a Mizbech. Even if you don't need the structure of the Mikdash, it's clear that you do need a Mizbech. Why is that clear? There's a Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Nun Tes here in Source 4. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Mizbech shenifkam, kol hakachim shenishkatu sham psulin. Rav says that if you have the Mizbech, which was damaged, it no longer has its perfect dimensions. The halacha is that all karbanos which are brought during that period while the Mizbech is nifkam, they're pasul. And the Gemara says, Rav knew the halacha, but he forgot what the pasuk was, and the Gemara ends up quoting a pasuk, v'zavachta Allah v'zalosecha v'shlamecha, that you're not supposed to bring karbanos on the Mizbech. So what does it mean, v'zavachta Allah? Ela kishu shalem v'lo kishu chaser. And that's the pasuk that Rav forgot. But either way, you see from this Gemara in Zvachim Daf Nun Tes that even if you don't need a Beis HaMikdash, you still need the presence of a Mizbeach in its proper place in order to bring Karbanos. And Kol Zman, that the Mizbeach is not in its proper place, in its proper form, even if you don't need the structure, but if you don't have the Mizbeach, you can't bring Karbanos. So says Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, even if I solve the issue of Kedushas HaMakom and the structure of the Mikdash, but last I heard in the news, there is no Mizbeach currently in the Azar, on the Har HaBayis. So how can we bring Karbanos nowadays? So he says, very interesting. He says, we know, the Medrash says in a couple places, Medrash here in Shir Hashim Rabbah and Shmos Rabbah, that we have a tradition that even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Bayis Sheni, he was going to leave over the western wall, right? The Medrash says in Shir Hashim Rabbah, in source 5, Olof Ha'ayolim, Lo Orzilun, De Ailosa, Hineza Omid Achar Kosleinu. What does that mean? Achar Kosel Ma'aravi Shal Beis HaMikdash, Lama Shenishba Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'eno Chariv La'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a shvu kibiyachal that the western wall of the Mikdash is never going to be destroyed. And also in Shemos Rabbah, source 6, Amar Vachal La'olam Eina Shechina Zaza Mikosel Ma'aravi, the Shechina is never going to leave from the western wall. So says Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, so if we have the western wall of the Mikdash, and we know the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. How do we know that? Because we have a whole Masechta called Maseches Midos, which lists off all of the various measurements of the Mikdash, so we can do simple mathematics. And we can measure from the Western Wall to where the Mizbeach is supposed to be, and we could go ahead and rebuild the Mizbeach. So even if it's true, we're not going to be able to build the whole structure, but through using the Mishnayos in Maseches Midos and the fact that we know that the Western Wall still exists, we'll be able to determine where the Mizbeach is supposed to go, how large it's supposed to be, and that's how we'll be able to solve the issue of Mizbeach Shenifgam. We'll be able to build the Mizbeach pristine in its precise location. Seems to make a lot of sense. So a couple issues. One, he doesn't point out, but Kayadua, it was a major machlokus over the past couple of centuries, whether the Kosel HaMaravi that we have nowadays, is it the Western Wall of the Azara? Meaning, is it the wall right behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Or is it the Western Wall of the Har HaBayis? And there's a major nafkamina, right? The Azara is, the Western Wall of the Azara is much closer to where the Mizbeach is supposed to be than the Western Wall of the Har HaBayis is much further back. So for centuries, the accepted psak was like the Radvaz, and I believe the Ridvaz, that the Western Wall that the Medrash speaks about and that we have nowadays is the Western Wall of the Azara. And that would create tremendous complications in terms of people being able to go near the Kosel HaMaravi, because if it's in the Azara, then you can't go in the state of Tumah. Either way, that was the assumption for many, many years. But as the poskim point out, Chacham Ovadia has a Tshuva Yavi Omer, where he points out the accepted, the consensus opinion in the poskim nowadays is that it's clear that the Western Wall that we have, the Kosel HaMaravi, is actually the Western Wall of the Har HaBayis. It's not the Western Wall of the Azara. But Rotzir's Kalasher in his Kuntris seems to be assuming that it's the Western Wall of the Azara. So first, in order to use the measurements of the Maseches Midos, you have to determine what you're measuring from. Are you measuring from the Western Wall of the Azara? Or are you measuring from the Western Wall of the Har HaBayis? So he neglected to point that difficulty out. Clearly he assumed that the Kosel HaMaravi that the Medrash speaks about and that we have nowadays is the Kosel HaMaravi of the Azara, but that is not the accepted opinion. That's one issue. Another issue is a Gemara. This he points out. The Gemara Maseches Zvachim in Surah 7 on Daf Samach Beis. The Gemara says that when Ezra came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara is bothered, how did he know where to build the Beis HaMikdash? It was destroyed during by Nebuchadnezzar. So how did Ezra know exactly where everything was supposed to go? So the Gemara says in Surah 7, Bishlama Bayis Minkaretz Rasa. The Gemara says, no. In terms of the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash, it was clear where everything was supposed to go because you had some ruins, you had clear indentations in the ground, exactly how to rebuild the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. But says the Gemara, El Mizbeach Mino Yodi. How did he know where the Mizbeach was supposed to go? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara gives a whole bunch of different interpretations how Ezra knew where the Mizbeach was supposed to go. Take a look in Source 7. The Gemara says some very interesting things. Amar Belazar, Ro Mizbeach Banai, Umichal Sar HaGadol, Omir Makriv Alav. They saw a vision of a built Mizbeach, and Michael, the Malach, was bringing Karbanos on the Mizbeach. Okay, fascinating. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, they saw the ether of Yitzchak, the ashes of Yitzchak, that were placed in that designated area where the Mizbeach was supposed to be. Okay. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini Omer, Mikol HaBayis Kulo Hiricha Reich Toras, the entire Makom Mikdash smelled like incense, but Misham Hiricha Reich Ivarim, where the Mizbeach was supposed to be, they smelled flesh. They smelled where the Korbanos were burning. That's how they knew that the Mizbeach was supposed to go there. Oh. Now, the relevant opinion for us is the following. Really, this is what happened. This is how Ezra knew. There were three Nevi'im who came with Ezra from Bavel. One testified in terms of the way the Mizbeach is supposed to look. And one testified as to where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. And one testified that the halacha is that we bring karbanos even if we don't have a makam hamikdash. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on to bring another opinion very similar to that. So you see from all these opinions that in order to determine the makam hamizbeach, they needed to rely on some type of miracle, some vision, or a Navi to be able to determine for them where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. So says Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, clearly I'm wrong, because I had a very, very simple equation. We have the Kosel Maravi. Let's measure from the Kosel Maravi to the Makom of the Mizbeach. But you see from this Gemara that they had to rely on Malachim or rely on Nevi'im in order to determine where the Makom of Mizbeach was supposed to be. So says Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, no, maybe not. Maybe there was a difference between Chorban Bayis Rishon and Chorban Bayis Sheni. And he proves from Sukkim that when it comes to Chorban Bayis Rishon, the Makom was completely uprooted. And there was no clear indication where the Mizbeach was supposed to go. Since the Makom was completely destroyed, it was annihilated by Nebuchadnezzar, they needed to rely on visions or Nevi'im in order to determine where the Makom of Mizbeach was supposed to be. However, we never find that the Bayis Sheni was completely destroyed. It could be that there are other simanim as to where the Makom of Mizbeach is supposed to be, and we'll be able to use logic and mathematics in order to determine where the Mizbeach is supposed to go post Chorban Bayis Sheni if we want to be able to bring Karbanah. So he says that Gemara, not such a raya, that Gemara is only talking about post Chorban Bayis Rishon, they needed Nevi'im, they needed visions. But post-Chorban Bayis Sheni, we'll be able to use simple mathematics to determine where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. The problem is, and this Brisker Rav points out, the Rambam seems to have learned the Gemara differently. Because the Rambam, in Source 8 here, Hilchos Beis Avichai, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, a famous Lashon, HaMizbeach Mekoma Mechuvan B'Yoser. The placement of the Mizbeach is extremely precise. Ve'ein Mishanin Oso Mimkoma La'olam. And the Ram goes on to describe how, historically speaking, the Makom of Mizbeach was always the place that was used for the Jewish people for special things, for korbanos, etc. But the Rambam's lashon is that Mizbeach Mekoma Mechuvan B'Yoser. And the Rambam doesn't say that about any of the other Kalim. Even though the other Kalim had their designated places in the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam only says about the Mizbeach that Mekomo Mechuvan B'Yoser. Where's the Rambam getting that from? What's the Rambam getting at? So the Brisker Rav, in his Chidushin, Maseches Becharos, explains that the Rambam clearly understood the Gemara in Zvachim that we just read on Samach Beis, that the halacha is that the placement of the Mizbeach is so exact that it's impossible for a human to be precise enough to determine where it's supposed to go. It's impossible. He makes it depend totally on the sugya of Efshar Letzamtzim, Efshar Letzamtzim. But either way, the Brisker Rav says that the Rambam learned the Gemara that the Makom, the Mizbeach, is so exact, so precise, that the only way you'll be able to determine its proper place is through Nevi'im, or through a vision. And that's why Ezra needed to rely on Nevi'im, or the visions, whatever the different opinions in the Gemara, to determine where to build the Mizbeach. And without that, you cannot rely on mathematics or logic to determine where the Mizbeach is supposed to go. And that holds true both for post-Chorban Bayis Rishon and post-Chorban Bayis Sheni. So if that's the case, if that's the way the Rambam read the Gemara, so in Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's logic of using the Kosel Maravi as a baseline and the Maseches Midos to determine where the Mizbeach is supposed to go, it's not going to work out, because you see from the Gemara, Maseches Zvachim, at least the way the Rambam understood it, is that there's a din that you need Nevi'im to determine the Makom Mizbeach, because the Makom Mizbeach, Mizchuvim B'Yoser, is so precise, it's so exact, that human intellect alone cannot determine where it's supposed to go. So that is one another issue with the with Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Another issue is, he was assuming, this whole discussion is assuming, that the measurements of Bayis Sheni and the Mizbeach of Bayis Sheni are the same as Bayis Shlishi. And he's arguing that we can use Maseches Midos, which is a description of the way Bayis Sheni looked, in order to determine how to build Bayis Shlishi and how to build the Mizbeach of Bayis Shlishi. That's his assumption. Okay, so that's a fair assumption according to some Rishonim. If you take a look in Tosas here in Source 10, Tosas Maseches Zvachim Daf Samach Beis, Tosas clearly assumes that way as well, because the Pesukim Yecheskel are the only source that we really have to describe how Bayis Shlishi is supposed to look. The problem is, it's so unclear, so vague, and it's very, very difficult to interpret exactly what Yechezkel meant. But it's clear that Yechezkel, according to many Rishonim, is referring to Bayis Shlishi. So the question is, do the Psukim Yechezkel, are they describing what we find in Maseches Midos? So Tosis assumes that way. And you take a look in Source 10. Echad Sheidol HaMel Mizbeach. Tema, Crux of Yechezkel. Variel Shneimes Amos, Alma Malka Mamracha Chavdala Chavdalad. Tosis is bothered by Akasha. Why did they need to rely on Nevi'im to determine the size of the Mizbeach and the Malkam of Mizbeach? It's Psukim that are explicit in Yechezkel. So, whatever, Tosis gives a teretz. But from Tosis's question, you see that Tosis is assuming that the Psukim in Yechezkel are describing the Tzura of Bayis Sheni. So, presumably, Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi, according to Tosis, are going to look the same. And that also holds true according to Rashi in Source 12. Rashi im Zachim Daf Mentes, Amid Beis, Nemelahen Ribua, Bishel Yechezkel Shenis Nabe al Bayis Sheni. Ola asid ribua al arbas riva'av. Rashi, maybe two opinions, but Rashi definitely is entertaining the possibility that the Psukim and Yechezkel are describing Bayis Sheni, and presumably, if that's the case, it's going to be the description of the way Bayis Shlishi is supposed to look. The problem is when you look at the Rambam. The Rambam seems to contradict himself. The Rambam here in Source 13, Hilchos Beis Bechira Pek Beis, Halacha Gimel, Rambam writes, Midos ha-mizbech mechuvanos harbei, v'tziras yidua ish mi'ish, u'mizbech shebanu b'nei ha-gola, ke'ein mizbech she'asid lehibanos asuhu. The mizbech that the people coming from Bavel built was ke'ein, like the mizbech which is going to be built in the future, tahinu bayis shlishi, ve'ein lahosif al-midasav lo legro mimenu. So there the Rambam says, unclear, sounds like it's Ka'in. Ka'in could mean exactly like. It could be similar to. Take a look in Source 13. The Rambam in 14, I'm sorry, Hilchos Beis Bechira Perek Aleph Halacha Daled. Rambam writes, Binyan Shabana Shlomo Kvar Mefush B'Malachim V'chein Binyan Asad Libanos Af Bishu Ksiv Kasub Yecheskel Eino Mefurash Mevur V'anshei Bayisheni Kishabanu B'mei Ezra Banu Kibinyan Shlomo U'me'ein Dvarim HaMefurash B'Yecheskel. So it sounds like from this Rambam that there Bayis Sheni was somewhere in between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Shlishi. It wasn't exactly the same. If anything, it was more similar to Bayis Rishon than Bayis Shlishi, the Psukim that in Yechezkel, where he describes the Bayis Shlishi. So the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka and Hilchos Beis Bechira seems to be assuming that the Bayis Shlishi and the Bayis Sheni are not exactly the same. Yet, if you look at the Rambam in his Hakdamah, the Pirush Mishnayos, in Source 15, when the Rambam is discussing what the purpose of Maseches Midos is, right, you read Maseches Midos, it's very, very technical. It's all just measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, the various areas of the Beis HaMikdash, the various Kalim. Why is that so significant? So the Rambam writes in Source 15, V'achar tamin Midos, V'ein in yana el sipor Midas HaMikdash v'tziraso heich baninu. What's the purpose? What's the benefit? Says the Rambam, the benefit of having the Maseches Midos is when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have the blueprints. So it sounds like from the Rambam that Maseches Midos, which is a description of the way Bayis Sheni is supposed to look, is exactly the way we're going to build Bayis Shlishi. So on the one hand, the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Bechira sounds like there are going to be differences, discrepancies between Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi, yet the Rambam in Perush Mishnayos sounds like they are one in the same. So you could say the Rambam changed his mind, but the Tosis Yomtev assumes that you have to put the two Rambams together in his Hagdama to Maseches Midos. He argues as follows. He says what the Rambam means is as follows. That really, Bayis Sheni had the potential to become the Beis HaMikdash was going to last forever. The problem was that the tshuva movement of Ezra was less than ideal. And since that's the case, it was destined to be destroyed from the beginning. And since it was destined to be destroyed from the beginning, they built in some changes, some shinuyim, from the way Bayis Shlishi is going to look, so that there's a difference between Bayis Sheni, which is going to be finite, it's going to be destroyed, and Bayis Shlishi, which is going to be the pristine Beis HaMikdash, which is going to last forever. So there were some shinuyim, but fundamentally they were the same. Fundamentally they were the same, and with a few minor changes. So Yechezkel is describing Bayis Shlishi, and the Maseches Midos is describing Bayis Sheni, But really, they're very similar with some minor changes to be mechalik, to distinguish between Bayis Sheni, which was going to be destroyed, which was destined to be destroyed, and Bayis Shlishi, which is never going to be destroyed once it's built. So it says in Tosfos Yom Tov, that's what the Rambam means in the Perush Mishnayos, that the toelus of having the blueprints of Bayis Sheni is because it's very similar. We'll use Maseches Midos for the most part to rebuild Bayis Shlishi, but of course we're going to have to also be able to interpret the Pesukim in Yecheskel to know the different shinuyim, the different nuanced differences as to how Bayis Shlishi differs from Bayis Sheni. But fundamentally, the blueprint of Bayis Sheni is going to be similar, the same as Bayis Shlishi. And that's what the Rambam in Beis Mechira says, but it's Ka'ein. There are some differences, because there is going to be some change between Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi. But either way, once you accept that interpretation of the Rambam, the Tosfos Yom Tov, you see that we can't necessarily rely completely on Maseches Midos to determine where to build the Mizbeach, how big the Mizbeach is supposed to be, because it could be that the Shinuyim, the differences between Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi, lie in where the wall is supposed to be, where the Mizbeach is supposed to be, how big the Mizbeach is supposed to be. So it's not so obvious to make the argument of Sfiras Kalasher that we could simply measure from the Kosal Maravi to where the Mizbeach is supposed to be based on Maseches Midos, because it could be, according to Rambam at least, that Maseches Midos was for Bayis Sheni, and it could be that there's some differences between Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi. But either way, whether or not you accept the argument of Ritzvir's Kalisher, and there were other issues that the Poskim pointed out in his time, in his correspondence, very interesting stuff, he wasn't the first one to come up with this idea. In the time of the Rishonim, the Sefer Kapos Tamarim, written by Rabbeinu Baruch, here it's quoted in the Sefer Kapos Tamarim, the Sefer Kafter Referch, I'm sorry, written by Rabbeinu Baruch, quoted in the Sefer Kapos Tamarim here in Masechta Sukkah, quotes that either Rabbi Chilmi Paris or Rabbi Chananel Paris, one of the great Rishonim, wanted to actually make Aliyah. This was in the 1200s. He wanted to make Aliyah, and he wanted to go to Yerushalayim and bring Korbanos. He obviously felt that the issues that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisher raised were also solvable, were also issues that we can halakhically circumvent, i.e. lack of Beis HaMikdash, state of Tumah, not having Kohanim. Here you take a look at Source 17, on your own time, a quote from the Sefer Kafter Referach, that he had this idea 600 years, 700 years before Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalisher wrote his Sefer, his Kuntrus Drisha Sion. But either way, these are some highlights of the, we're learning about the Mishkan and all these parashios, how it's actually, potentially relevant nowadays, and we hope that it will become more lemaisa in very, 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 a very quick time. Yashakayach.